Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is The Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Well, for those of you that ask from time to time, is this show going to talk sports? We're going to talk sports right now with the owner of the Boston Celtics, Whit Grosbeck, who is in this studio for the first time.
Love it here. Very nice.
And nice to have you here.
Glad to see you guys. I mean, I've known you 20, however many
20,
years.
20
since we were kids.
Are you talking about your recent injury, or are we addressing that, or what?
No big deal.
This is why when we get to a certain age, we shouldn't try to participate in certain activities. But Wick is just got done with surgery because you had a water skiing incident.
I was up on the lake, Winnipesaukee, on Saturday, and then there I was still in the lake as the boat left, and with my bicep attached. It tore off the bone, yeah. And like I said to people, I'm just glad I had a bicep. I mean, it was like surgical proof, medical proof I actually have a bicep. I wasn't so sure.
I remember when Teddy Johnson's bicep rolled up. Yeah. I hate to say
creepy.
That
while people it's, are, yeah, are
no, this was a window but, shade yeah. kind of effect. Much smaller than Teddy Johnson's bicep, but still, they did microsurgery and repaired it.
How long was the surgery?
The surgery was like an hour, and they pull the thing, the tendon tears off the bone. So they go back down, they drill a hole through the radius, through your forearm bone, pull the tendon down through it, and attach it with a button on the back so it stays on there, like some sort of, connector. So I've got a hole through my forearm bone now and a reattached bicep. It's awesome.
Yum.
And that's what it felt like to watch the Celtics lose to the Bucks.
It was. Yeah, exactly. We win 5 and then we lose 4. It's like, it was an up and down year, obviously, and we up and down and difficult and hard to really love the team, as I said, from time to time. But
yeah, I was going to ask
when
you
we
about
won
that.
5 playoff games in a row.
Yeah.
To start the playoffs, like, all right, we just swept Indiana and then beat Milwaukee pretty, by double digits in Milwaukee to go up 1-0. That's when you start to feel like, okay, well, maybe we figured it out. And then we lose 4 in a row. And it's frustrating.
I mean, you did say that. You said this was the toughest team for you to watch.
It was tough, yeah. It's been 15, 16 years. And this one, I mean, I like the guys. And actually been in communication with, I think, every single one of them over the last week or two. It's not bad feelings. It's just sort of like, what the heck? I mean, we could have done better.
Yeah.
Nobody's angry, but nobody's... nobody's happy. It was just a year that we're just going to turn the corner. We've got new players now, and we're going to have a new approach.
Well, Marcus Smart, I think, said yesterday that this team was dysfunctional. I can play that audio for you because I'd just be curious kind of what you think about that. And I believe, Ken, we can listen to that here.
I mean, let's call a spade, right? It's true. We were dysfunctional. It takes a lot for guys and especially athletes. Things didn't go quite as we wanted, but we got to look ourselves in the mirror. What did I do? What could I have done to help? And like I said, we all took part in it. We all could have done something better to help for that team.
You agree?
Yeah, I mean, Marcus is kind of heart and soul of the team. He's got a great attitude, a great work ethic. Everybody wanted to win. We didn't win. It just got a little messy in the Milwaukee series. It just seemed like 4 losses that were not particularly close. And so now we've got some new guys and a new approach.
When did you know that Kyrie wasn't going to come back?
Well, he was straightforward with us, and Danny has pointed this out. He was straightforward throughout the year. At first, in the beginning, he said, I want to come back. I want to retire my jersey here if we win. You know, he promised the fans. And then as the season went on, something changed. By February, we thought that he was at risk for not coming back. And then in June, that's what happened.
And is that the kind of thing that, you know, is communicated to you by him, or is do you just kind of start to get that feeling?
I think both. During the year, the communication with the players is typically Brad and Danny. It's not me. I'm not there checking in with them every day. I see him at practice a couple times a week. I go to the home games and some of the road games. I mean, I see the guys, but I'm not. I don't have regular meetings with them to talk basketball, because that's Brad and Danny. So they know more of what's going on day to day than I do, or they're in more touch.
I think from the fan perspective, a lot of fans kind of felt toward the end that that he was very unhappy and that he did not want to be here. And I don't know if that's just the impression everybody gets, or if that was kind of the situation.
Well, it just wasn't a general air of happiness around the team at the end. And, you know, he just sent me a text the other day out of the blue, and it was a really thoughtful and, you know, nice text, lengthy text kind of, and I responded, and we had a nice back and forth. I mean, that doesn't always happen with players. And this is, he's a guy that wants to have a good relationship. We do have a good relationship. He and the Celtics organization have a positive relationship. We wish him kind of the best, except when they're playing us. We kind of wish you the best. But he's a good guy. He tried hard. He gave us 2 years, and we're going to move forward.
Wick Grosbeck, owner of the Boston Celtics, is with us. I wanted to ask about Danny's health. How's Danny doing?
Danny is, I mean, he's in there every day. I'm going to go over right after this. We're right across the street, obviously, our new practice facility, and he's not scheduled to be in today. He's traveling, but there will be people there. There will be players there, assistant coaches. Brad's probably there. I think Brad is actually there today. We've got 6 or 7 guys in there today. So there's a lot going on at the team, and Danny has been up, you know, to his neck in it ever since the playoffs, redoing this roster and fully back to work.
Got to get him on the TB12 program.
Yeah,
when it comes to diet,
he's got Michelle Ainge. He's got the Michelle Ainge program.
Yeah.
And Michelle is a powerhouse and a wonderful person. And I think she's in complete charge of his future health. And I think I'm very optimistic for that reason.
If you want to talk to Wick, you can call 617-779-7937, or you can text on the text line, which is 37937.
So, Wick,
you're going to need to memorize that number, Greg.
I almost said you can text on 97107. Right.
Didn't they get a bunch of text messages for this show upstairs yesterday?
Yes. Yesterday, all morning, they were getting text messages directed at this show. Those were the good ones.
Love all, serve all down here. So, I wanted to ask about the new guys coming in. It seems like there's an air of positivity about Cantor coming in and Kemba Walker coming in. Danny said this was plan A following the departure of Kyrie. Were you in on those plans? Is this plan A for you, and how do you like the new guys?
Yeah, that's how it works, is that we're all on the same page when we're making serious moves like this. When it was clear that Kyrie and Al were going to be going elsewhere, I asked about how much cap room can we create? Well, we can create a max room slot. Well, let's go scour the league and find a max player that we want to have in here. Younger than 30, you know, find somebody who's the next generation away, or the whatever. You know, is there a great player out there? How about Kemba? And here's Kemba. And Kemba is a phenomenal player, 25 points a game last year. I think he's a 3-time All-Star and just a great person, just like a glow, you know, an aura, a positivity. And he's super excited to be here. He chose us. He had multiple other places he could have gone. He wanted to talk about the banners and a ring and what they look like and how it feels to be a Celtic. He's super excited. And then Enes Kanter chose us, had bigger offers elsewhere, more money elsewhere, but chose us to come play for Brad and to really, you know, have a meaningful role on a good team.
Did you hear the story, Greg, about how I believe Kanter in choosing where he was going to go called his family and was awaiting their response to find out if deals that he was being offered were good deals, and then was super excited ultimately to come to the Celtics, leave Portland, and make his way back here. And he's saying all the right things. He says he loves
time for optimism, right? This is July, and this is when everybody's I'm always optimistic in July, it seems like, but there's been good reason to be optimistic. I mean, over the past 15, 16 years, we've had some good teams. And this one feels like a great vibe. A bunch of the guys are going to be playing on the World Cup, representing the USA in China in mid-August, late August. So there's going to be like early bonding and early teamwork. Celtic pride is going to be, you know, in full speed. By the time we get to training camp in September, we'll be up and running.
Brad Stevens is entering his seventh year as head coach. His, I think his playoff record is a little under 500. How do you feel about him heading into this season as the coach?
Yeah, super happy with Brad. So glad he's here. He, if you look back at the record, the thing that stands out to me, one of them, is that so many guys have had career years playing for him. So you look at their stats before they come in, then you look at what he's able to do working with them and the rest of the team to get them to a new place. Doesn't happen every single time, but it happens every single year. Somebody is doing great under Brad, you know, or multiple guys. And, you know, that's why people choose us. That's why probably that's why a Kemba Walker type player and a Scanter, you know, might choose us, is because they want to see where they can go with Brad, you know. So it's a real positive thing. And when you see him every day and work with him every day or every week, as I do and we all do, you realize how much quality there's there. He's just great.
What is it when you talk about attracting guys to come here? What is it that the Celtics? What are you guys doing that you think separates you from other teams?
Well, it's been a long time getting here because the narrative up until a couple of years ago was no free agent has ever chosen the Celtics, and now we have, you know, Al Horford chose us, Gordon Hayward chose us, Kyrie, you know, wanted to come here in that whole turmoil around his trade. He selected us, and now. Ennis and Kemba have just chosen us. And Kevin Garnett chose us back in 07, but that's another longer story. But, you know, now it's three or four All-Stars in a row have chosen us. Three All-Stars, I guess, in a row have chosen us in free agency. And so now it's a new narrative. I'm just happy about that. And I think it's just being steady. We've got stability. We've got our ownership group, which isn't how I should lead the conversation, but the group, my partners and I have been around 16 years. We're not necessarily why people come, but we're trying to set a tone of stability. We've got Danny in for 15 years now and Brad in for going on 7 years. You got to have the right people, not just longevity. You got to have the right people in there. But I really like those guys, and I think we can take this team back to where we should be.
I think Gordon might leave for the World Fortnite Championships or something like that.
The guy won $3 million, the 16-year-old kid.
Yes, he won $3 million.
Yeah, there's no Fortnite rules on the Celtics, right? You know, they frowned on it in the Red Sox clubhouse. Are you cool with everyone playing Fortnite?
Right. Listen, it's the NBA, okay? We are we're a little different than Major League Baseball in many ways.
A little bit different. A little bit different.
Yeah. So I saw wasn't Brad at Celtics practice did Brad Stevens go to Celtics practice? Good question, buddy. Did Brad Stevens go to Patriots practice?
Yeah, he's very close with Belichick. We actually all are. We have a good relationship with those guys. Belichick was with us in 08 when we won the championship. He was at game 6 buying shots for the entire, or buying drinks for everybody at halftime of game 6. But that's yet another story, Greg. That'll be the next time you have me on. But he's a great guy, and he and Brad and Danny are very close and share ideas and share thoughts. And there's a lot going on between the two organizations. We're really appreciative of the other teams in town. I went to Game 7 with the Jacobs. You know, go to the World Series seems like every year with the Red Sox, the Super Bowl with the Patriots. I mean,
well, Mr. Kraft is always there. He was there at a playoff game or a couple playoff games
absolutely.
This year.
So we just get along great. I don't think you find that in very many other cities, if any. That's why I think we're the best sports town in the world. You know, all the teams are fighting hard. The fans support all four teams, and the teams support each other, and we just try to get things done. It's awesome.
Wick Grosbeck is our guest, owner of the Boston Celtics. If you want to call
co-owner, I mean, I've got a number of partners.
Co-owner. I know you're always modest about.
I wouldn't. Well, I am
majority.
A
co-owner. majority partner. Who is it? if you want to call 617-779-7937, or you can text 37937 is the text line. I was wondering if for the Greg Hill Foundation, I might be able to get one of those balls that Kyrie wouldn't sign to auction off. Is that possible?
Those are all. I don't know what you're talking about, Greg.
Well, I wanted to. Do you know anything about that?
There is a rumor. I don't know anything about that.
It's a rumor. You don't know anything about that.
Yeah. But Kyrie signed a bunch of stuff.
He did? Yeah.
Because I collected it all up in my office. I've got 500 signatures.
Listen, I think it's really good to hear your perspective on that, because I think people sit there and say, they feel like toward the end that they thought he was kind of a jerk, you know. So I think that's good to hear your perspective on that.
Well, I think that he wanted to go back down. His family is down in New York, his daughter and everything else. He wanted to be back down there. He's down there, and we're going to gear up for the Nets when we play them. There's good feelings, but there's a good competitive. It goes way back with that franchise, obviously, back to the trade, the Garnett-Pierce trade. So it'll be fun.
Might be a little extra fun to beat the Sixers and the Nets this season, you think?
Yeah, we have to do it first. That will be fun. It will be extra not fun to not beat them. And the Sixers are coming after us, obviously, or we're going after each other. That's a longtime rivalry, obviously, way back when. And even recently, it's been tough.
What do you think about the clustering of super teams in the Western Conference? The Western Conference is going to be really exciting this year with Kawhi and PG-13 going to the Clippers, and then now, of course, Russell Westbrook going to Houston. Western Conference is going to be it's going to be tough to get out of the East, but the Western Conference is enormous this year.
Yeah, and whoever comes out of the East, you know, look what happened. Toronto won the thing. You know, on paper, they weren't picked, and they won the championship. So we'll just let them play in the West. They can beat each other up as much as they want. They got some great teams. The Battle of Los Angeles will be great. The Lakers versus the Clippers. It's going to be amazing. I mean, the NBA is going crazy. It is the league since I came in has, I don't know if it's gone up 4X or 5X or whatever it is. It's a great place to be. It's a global sport along with soccer. We're the two global sports. We just renewed our China deal yesterday, our China video deal, streaming deal, and television deal, which is, you know, the numbers aren't disclosed, but it's just extraordinary. So the sport is going global.
But how big can the salaries get? I mean, do you worry about the when it comes to finance? Like, I mean, these guys are signing gigantic deals.
Well, I guess I was a finance major maybe way back when, but I didn't really think about finance when I came in here. My partners and I just decided to buy the team and try not to go broke. It was sort of the approach. And so far, knock on wood, I mean, I'm not kidding. We really, this wasn't a finance play. Ever really. It was out of love kind of thing. And anyway, that's why it's working, is because everybody loves it.
Because everybody loves it, yeah.
You don't worry about the money quite so much.
This is Mike. Mike, you're on with Wick Grosbeck.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Mr. Grosbeck.
Hey.
So with all the recent changes in the NBA, where it looks to the fans that the rules are geared more towards the offensive players, you see what a guy like Harden is allowed to do. You see what Westbrook gets to do. You see what LeBron gets to do. You have some of the best perimeter defenders in the NBA in your team with Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown in particular. How do you, as a fan, and not only as a fan but as an owner, how do you manage to sit through all these games watching you guys play what looks like perfect fundamental defense, and then the calls just don't go the way that, you know, most people would think they would? And then on the flip side, how frustrating is it to know that the Celtics are generally, whether they shoot jump shots or not, are generally near the bottom of the league table there when it comes to free throws attempted per game, considering you guys drive to the basket just as much, if not as more than other teams that you play against? Thanks, bud.
Well, I can tell you're a fan and you watch the game, so I do appreciate that a lot. I mean, I from the heart, thanks for following the team. Definitely the offense has been opened up. You can't hand check the guys out in the perimeter. The three-point, now everybody's shooting three-pointers. Even the centers have to go out there and shoot three-pointers now. It is totally different. It's a more free-flowing, you know, kind of fun to watch game for the average people. I like defense. I remember the Tony Allen days. Back then when Tony was locking people down, you know, one of my favorite all-time Celtics has played with us, you know, great defender. So we like the defense. We think that's where you stand out in the playoffs, though, is defense, because everybody suddenly starts playing lockdown defense if they can in the playoffs. And so that's that's kind of the secret, I think, for getting all the way, is having a good offense, but being able to step it up defensively. Not sure I exactly answered your question. I don't think we get, I will finish the answer, I guess. I don't think we get, ripped off by the refs or anything like that. We do try to get to the basket. We will see. You'll see Kemba obviously get in the basket more this year, and that's why I'm kind of looking forward to the season. See how we play it out.
You haven't been fined yet for protesting when it comes to the refs, have
no,
you?
No, I'm super mellow.
What do you think, by the way, Roger Goodell and three NFL officials are going to have to testify in court?
Yeah, about that about unbelievable blown call and the Rams. Yeah,
yes.
That was is that outrageous.
Is that a good thing for sports or is that a bad thing for sports?
I don't know about the testimony, but I do think that I'm in favor of like replay and getting things right because there's nothing worse. I mean, the arguments against replay are, well, it takes a minute and human error is part of the game. So make it, but when it's a referee's call that decides the game the wrong direction and the fans have spent the whole year or their whole lifetime getting to that point, right? You got to get it right.
But it's a game. I mean, that you said the word. I mean, I just think it's a horrible precedent to set.
Well,
I think it's going to be dangerous down the line. It's like the slippery slope argument. Like, first it's for this blown call, and then...
If you could push a button and fix that call last year, you wouldn't have fixed it. You're just like, it makes it so much more fun to have it just a complete... pass interference. The guy shoves the guy down. You got to fix that.
Well, where do you draw the line?
You draw the line somewhere past that because that was a pathetic call.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if that's your franchise and that's and that's the team that you've loved, you know, you feel like you want retribution. So,
I think when we can look, the world is screwed up enough. When we can fix things, let's fix them. There you go.
Yeah.
But I just changed Danielle's mind. Sorry, you man.
Call
you're out on an island now. She's like nodding.
Nodding is like liking a tweet, Wick. It's more like an acknowledgement that you saw it. You don't necessarily agree. You know, retweets do not equal endorsements.
What's a tweet exactly? I don't.
Don't
do
worry
that.
About it.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I think the question everyone wants to know is, what does government mean to you? Wick, I had a question. We were talking a lot in the last couple weeks here in the station about how baseball is having a little bit of a popularity issue and people want to make changes to the game, speed it up, improve the quality. But the NBA is surging in popularity right now. What do you think the NBA is doing that Major League Baseball maybe could take a few notes from?
I'm not going to suggest anything for baseball. We've got to worry about our own thing. I referenced before, I feel really lucky to be in the NBA because we're young. We're 25-year-old, you know, the best athletes in the world, very watchable. And the guys, you know, they don't have masks on or whatever. They're sort of right there, larger than life, incredible global superstars now. And so that's our game. Everybody in the world knows our players. And that's just an awesome feeling. That's why the league is so popular. And then you can just play the game. Just, you know, you just get a ball. And you're set. You can dribble around, put up some shots just by yourself. You don't need complicated equipment, and you don't need 4.5 hours. I do think the time issue and having constant action and having, you know, games that are just over 2 hours long is good for streaming a game on your phone. It's good for going to a game, good for watching a game. But we don't want to get too full of ourselves. We want to just, you know, keep building it. And I think it's a great time to be in pro sports in general and NBA in particular.
Have you met our producers? They're suffering from Stockholm syndrome in the other room, Wick, Ken and Curtis. I think Curtis has a question for you.
Wick, the term owner is being banned among NBA teams, according to the commissioner, Adam Silver. Where do you stand on the use of the term owner? Do you think it's an overreaction to the PC culture at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could call it franchise owner or team owner, but I think governor is just fine, or chairperson or whatever. I don't have an issue with it. It's not a power trip for me. I do like, though, that if and when you ever win a trophy, they hand it to me. So it's very few and far between, if any fans have noticed, but you know, trophy person.
You mentioned earlier a favorite player. Is it possible for you, never mind ability, but to say your three favorite guys that have played for the Celtics during your tenure?
Well, the first name that comes to mind right now, and I just interacted with him not long ago, was Kevin Garnett. And KG was just like nuclear powered in there somewhere. He just has some sort of different power source.
Yeah.
Everything's different about KG, but the minute he came into that team, he was determined. He soaked in every banner. I've told that story, but you know, he looked at every single banner, 16 of them up there, and made the press conference wait, and everybody had to wait while he just sort of, he was looking at 1964 and 1966 or whatever, and 65, and in order. And then he came in, had the press conference, and then we went out and had a great year. He really was a driving force there. I think he brought it together along with Doc, along with Paul Pierce, Ray Allen. But KG changed everything, and he just wasn't going to say no. I just love the guy.
Yeah.
And we've interacted a bit afterwards. It's just a lot of fun being with KG. So he's an example of not only is a winner, but he won for the right reasons, full effort, and a really likable, quirky but likable personality. Just a great guy.
And a leader?
He's a leader. But if you didn't follow him, you were gone. Like he'd say, you got to trade this kid. You got to cut this rookie. I mean, he was not only was a leader, it's like all caps.
Was Kyrie like that?
Kyrie was, Kyrie didn't have the same success that KG had that year. I don't really want to directly compare the two of them.
Yeah.
I think Kyrie wants to be and is a leader. He hit a winning shot in a championship for Cleveland, and he wants to do that again. And he wanted to do it here, legitimately. It just didn't work out.
Yeah. All right. Whit Grosbeck is our guest. If you want to call, you call 617-779-7937 and the text line 37937. New studio, new show, and it's great that you found your way here, no problem this morning.
What are your logistics? When do you wake up in the morning?
Well, I've been getting in here earlier than I used to get in for the old show because I'm, there's a lot of complaints about my energy level, so I'm trying to boost my energy. I mean, how do you feel
it's
about
too my... energetic?
No, not energetic.
Snooze fest. Dying over here. God.
I mean, I need more. I need a higher energy level. I need maybe Danny or somebody. Maybe before the show, Brad Stevens could come over here.
I think what you need is the Rolling Stones mobile. You know, you need a van. Take it out. You know, go down to Copley Square. Go down to Kenmore Square and do some remotes at 6 a.m. See who's there.
Well, speaking of music, how long is it going to be due to the injury till you can play drums?
We had the best year we ever had at French Lick. We were on bills with. I won't say opened with because it's not technically correct. But we were on a bill after... Lenny Kravitz, which was unbelievable, at the House of Blues a couple months ago. Charity show, Jim Pallotta's big show, and there's Lenny, and then Lenny looks down at the set list or whatever, and it says, French Lick Band going on after me. It's like, what? I literally could read his lips. I won't read them now. I was like, what is that? Who's going on after me?
Yeah, who's French Lick?
But that was awesome. And then we went on before Flo Rida the other day down in for Tom Brady. So French Lick is having like the year of a lifetime. Yeah. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame coming up.
Speaking of music, is there a band that you would love to see or an artist that you'd love to see do the anthem who hasn't done the anthem yet for the Celtics?
I had Bob Weir do the anthem of all people years ago. Not known as a solo vocalist, but he loved doing the anthem. So and he actually told me the other day, he texted me, he said he wants to do it again. I've had Sister Hazel do it.
Yeah,
I love those guys. I have my buddies.
And speaking of French Lick, how was Larry when he was here for the playoffs? I love the fact that he sits in the stands and pretty far up.
Yeah.
How did you interact with him at all when he was
not
here?
At that time? Would have loved to have seen him and said a quick hello. He's always been very nice and very positive and everything else. I didn't happen to see him during those playoffs, and I don't think he was having a good time. It's sort of like the foreshadowing of what happened to us in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
He's great. It's great to have him back and to have the fans see him and, you know,
interact with
him. The Celtics would not be the Celtics without Larry Bird, obviously.
No. This is Paul. Hey, Paul, you're on with Whit Grosbeck.
Hey, morning, you guys. How you doing?
How you doing, Paul?
Hey.
So Wick, a question to you, and I know you probably can't answer it fully, but it appears to me the past couple years, marquee players have become very, very vocal as to who they want around them on their roster. As a chairperson, do you find it much more of a challenge to yourself and to like GMs in handling off-season roster changes?
Yeah, it is. It comes with these guys becoming global stars. They have a lot of power and a lot of energy level. Sort of like Greg here, just bursting out the energy.
Volcanic.
But I'm finding it, I see the positive in things. This is things are going great. And then, you know, in all the off-season attention, I just want to be in the mix. You know, we got a couple of guys, but we're not, you know, the Lakers necessarily. We have more championships than the Lakers, but we don't have the L.A. weather. I guess we're not New York or whatever, but... You know, we got the job here. The challenge is to make the Celtics, to find the players that know that Celtic pride and the legacy, and then as being expressed today, hopefully with Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens on the basketball side, is worth, you know, and our fans. And these guys, I will say, the one thing, when players come in here, and started with Al Horford a few years ago talking about it, he's like, he came here because of the fans. He's like, there's no fans in the league like the Boston fans. I want to play for the Boston fans. And it is different. And so you fans out there are making a difference. And that's how we can keep competing for the free agents. And makes it all the more satisfying when we win.
Yeah, I think it was Steve Kerr who recently said that he was a little concerned about the idea of players getting to choose their teams, that could be bad for the league. How much concern do you have about that?
I think what I remember about his remark in particular, if I'm remembering it correctly, was he said it's pretty bad when a guy demands a trade with 2 years left on a contract.
Right.
And I agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, you sign up a deal, then play it out. This is a, you know, you got to live out your deal. If you're going to end up at the end of the contract leaving, then that's fine. But play the contract out and don't go public with demands. And so I think that's really what I took out of his comments, and I agree with him.
Yeah, you agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you did, Greg? Demanded a trade with 2 years left in your contract?
No, I do what I'm asked. Uh-huh. I mean, that's my thing, is yes. I do what I'm asked. Uh-huh. You know?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, callers, let's call in and ask Greg to do some ridiculous stuff. For the next week, he does what he asks. So let's pick the three or four. I'm just trying to revitalize the show. The three or four best ridiculous things that you're going to ask Greg to do, and then we're going to ask him to do them on the air.
I can only work on one thing at a time, and right now it's the energy level. All right, Wick, that's it. That's the only thing that I can work on.
The show should totally, we'll call it like hashtag the Grossbeck Challenge. Whatever callers call in and say, Wick said it. If Wick says it, got to do it.
Is it going to be more or less popular than Celtics weird Twitter? That's the big thing. If you haven't seen any
Twitter,
of the Marcus Smarf things, they're very
NBA
very
Twitter
good content.
I think that's what the NBA gets, that I don't think a lot of the NBA has embraced social media. House of Highlights has been huge for the NBA, and just giving people the access. Like, you can sit on the floor at an NBA game. You can hear the things. Of course, you didn't want to end up on Kevin Garnett's bad side, and you could hear all those great things. But that's what the NBA does. The kids feel like they're an active part of the entertainment that's going on around them.
Yeah. It's the best seat in sports, sitting courtside of the game, as Greg knows very well.
Guy, he sat there for half a quarter. What are you talking about? You watch the game on TV, you're like, who's empty subs, Greg? Greg, biggest waste of a ticket ever.
Bedtime. We're going to start the games at 4 p.m. for him.
I think the NBA does a great job of making the game and the everything around the game entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think more so than any other sport. I think so. And I assume that's intentional.
Yes, we are trying to entertain people.
You're trying to entertain.
We are trying to entertain.
Yeah.
As the caller pointed out, the rules favored the offense more, and the 3-point line and everything else came in the 80s or whenever it was. But it's a fun game. You know, we're gonna see what happens. You know, we got half the Celtics team on the World Cup roster, it looks like, going to China. So it's gonna be a very Celtic oriented U.S. national team in China and in August.
Speaking of that, this is Marv. Yes, Marv.
That's exactly what I wanted to ask about, because isn't there also a risk of so many of your players playing in that World Cup as far as a risk of injury and also getting worn out preseason?
Yeah, it's a long way over to China and back, obviously. And but these, everybody on it is like 25 or younger, I think, and so are most all of them. And you know, I think that they're going to be working out every single day. Sometimes, like when I go over to the practice facility right now, Gordon Hayward and Jaylen Brown will have just finished their workout. Semi Ojeleye will be just starting his second workout. I mean, these guys work out all August long. So your point is a good one. It's a long way to China. It's a bit of a grind. But I think the positive, they'll be working out either way. And the positive of it is learning one another as teammates, getting the pride together, the positive vibe, representing their country. I mean, nobody's more psyched about that than Marcus Smart, to put a USA on his chest. I mean, that guy, you know, I just love the guy. So anyway, hopefully the positive vibes will outweigh any risk. But we're not going to, like, wrap them all in bubble wrap and say just rest up. I'm happy that they want to go represent the country. I think it's a good positive vibe.
You've been watching Summer League play?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Taco.
Yeah. What do you think?
Love Taco.
Yeah.
Glad that we've signed him to a contract. It's the next stage of his contract evolution. Basically, it's not his final contract. He's got to make the team and play things out. But he is a great person. You know, I've met a bunch of people, obviously, who are over 7 feet tall now in this job, and sometimes folks with that height feel uncomfortable with it, or it's awkward. People are always going like, "How tall are you?" You know, whatever. It's just kind of, it probably is a bit of a grind, right? Taco just loves life. He's the nicest guy ever. And he's happy and relaxed and comfortable, and he's got size 22 shoes. I saw them over the practice facility the other day. I mean, it's the size of this computer monitor with some laces on it. It's ridiculous.
Well, and the practice facility, I mean, I want to ask about the food. I mean, I'm assuming that there's like great chefs over
come
there.
Come do a show.
I was come over, do a show over at the practice. Yeah. All right, I think we should do that.
Oh, you're not our radio partner.
Well, I mean, we could work on that.
Darn it.
Well, yeah, that's wah, right. Wah. Yeah. All right. Well,
you can do a Red Sox show.
We can do a Red Sox show, absolutely.
Yes.
And stay in bad hotels, we learned
yes.
earlier.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Right near the Twin Peaks. Great spot.
Greg will be at the Ritz.
Do a Red Sox show at the Celtics facility. Maybe just weird enough to work.
But that facility across the street, that Auerbach Center is unbelievable. And it's part of our recruiting tools.
I was going to say,
it's really great.
You think that helps when it comes to getting guys?
I mean, Waltham was kind of fine, and we appreciated it out there. But this is two courts, state of the art, in Boston, on the edge of Boston here, and it's just people are there morning, noon, and night now. Guys live right nearby in apartments right nearby, so they can work out more. I mean, it's a positive for the team for sure.
Well, I want to thank you for coming in.
Great to see you guys. Good luck with all this.
Thank
you, Rick.
Day two, Wick Rosbeck. Nice to have you here. Can't wait for the season to get underway, and I'm sure we'll talk to you during the season.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
All
good
right,
luck with everything.
Thank you.
We will be right back.
The home of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick every Patriots Monday. Boston Sports Station. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEI, brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. Fresh local flavor this summer. Try the new focaccia crusted fresh North Atlantic haddock. Fresh off the boat in Gloucester. Baked with Asiago crumbs, drilled with balsamic glaze, drizzled with it. And the 99, always the real deal. Mark Feinstein of MLB.com says the Red Sox are focused on a trade to upgrade the bullpen and no plans to deal their top prospect, Tristan Casas, but he suggests Michael Chavis could be a good start in a potential package for Mets closer Edwin Diaz. The baseball trade deadline tomorrow at 4 p.m. Red Sox will open series tonight at Fenway with the Rays. 7:10 the first pitch. 6:10 pregame on the Shaws and Star Market, WEI Red Sox Radio Network. David Price opposing Charlie Morton. Rodney Harrison donning the red jacket, inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame yesterday evening in a ceremony at Patriot Place. That was along with the late Leon Gray. And after the induction, short half-speed practice at Gillette on that soccer field, still down from the International Champions Cup match. They are off today. The Patriots expected to return tomorrow a.m. on the fields behind Gillette. This is the Greg Hill Show on WEI.
This is The Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
And now The Greg Hill Show presents another dumb moment in people talking about Boston sports on TV.
I think Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback who ever lived, okay? Are we all clear? He's the greatest quarterback who ever lived. Tom Brady's just about done. It could be his next game he plays, it could be a year from now, but he is going to fall off a cliff. Tom Brady is going to be a bum in short order.
This has been another dumb moment in people talking about Boston sports on TV. Now back to Greg Hill.
Quite possibly the most ridiculous troll ever made in broadcast media on the... Yesterday was the third anniversary of,
that's right.
Of that idiocy from Max Kellerman.
What'd you do to celebrate?
I didn't do anything, really. I mean, I was working on the show. What were you doing?
Oh, you were?
Yes, I was.
Really?
You can't tell I was working on the show?
Jerry's out. Show.
But yeah. Maybe a 3-year anniversary of single-handedly the dumbest thing anyone has ever said. The ultimate attempted and yet failed Boston sports troll. Max Kellerman. Old Cliff Kellerman.
Uh-huh.
Tom Brady going to be a bum in short order. And he's owned it. And he's still on that cliff. Just waiting for the day. And it get old when someone says, yeah, but eventually they'll get bad and then I'll be first.
Yeah, but you have a list of some of the other ridiculous statements that were made, correct?
Oh, Mr. Kellerman is not alone, sir.
Yeah.
Of course, one of my personal favorites came after a beating on Monday Night Football. It was the first time we ever saw Jimmy G throw a football for the Patriots. Pats got their clocks clean, 41-14 on Monday Night Football by the Chiefs. And then Trent Dilfer gave us this piece of brilliance.
Listen, when you're weak, when you're the weakest kid and you go into the bully's house, you get the snot beat out of you. We saw a weak team, the New England Patriots. Let's face it, they're not good anymore.
And, of course, what did that give us? We're on to Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
And then that next Sunday night, the Patriots beat the Bengals, and they won the Super Bowl. And Dilfer's awesome about it because he has owned it, and he says, I know this is how people know me, and I love that Patriots fans love me for that soundbite. Way back when the dynasty began, Greg, a famous analyst, boom, Tenactin, John Madden. Remember John Madden?
Mm-hmm.
The great coach. Back in Super Bowl 36, minute and a half left, tied 17-17, Rams-Patriots. John Madden gave the worst coaching advice that would have absolutely never helped the dynasty take flight.
Now with no timeouts, I think that the Patriots, with this field position, you have to just run the clock out. You have to play for overtime now. I don't think you want to force anything here. You don't want to do anything stupid because you have no timeouts and you're backed up. You know,
Still not as dumb as Kellerman, but yes.
But still
yes,
pretty bad. Yes, yeah, yes, I mean, because yes. A couple of J.R. Redmonds, a Troy Brown, a Wiggy, and a Vinatieri later, a dynasty was born, right? Taking the chase, God, and then so much crow. But another somebody who has made a name recently in the idiot talking head department, he refers to Tom Brady as the Loat. He's on a network. I don't think anyone gets it. I think more people get the AccuWeather channel, FS1.
Uh-huh.
Have you heard of Rob Parker, Danielle?
Jury's out.
Yeah. He's tried to make a living being Kellerman Light, always saying that Tom Brady is the luckiest quarterback in the world.
Pro sports has a short menu. It's wins and losses. So I give it to him. They won the game.
Yeah.
But again, this is the narrative I've been talking about, Kyler, and you know I'm right. Tom Brady is the low. He's the luckiest of all time.
The luckiest of all time.
Load,
not the goat.
Not the goat. The load.
He's not the greatest of all time.
It's all luck. There's no talent. There's nothing.
That's right.
Obviously.
Like yesterday. There's more. Rob Parker.
Yeah, we have a little more.
There is. I enjoyed that so much. Might I have some more, please?
I still believe that when it's all said and done and that disgruntled person who wasn't taken care of comes out and writes that book and lays it all out on the table, that Tom Brady will be looked at the same light as maybe Lance Armstrong. Well, he'll be Lance Armstrong without the bicycle.
What?
Who's going to be Lance Armstrong without the bicycle?
What's going to be in the book? What is the disgruntled person going to...
It's Dorito Dinks and McNally. They're going to write a big bestseller. They're going to sit down and they're going to lay it on the line that Tom Brady wanted his balls extra deflated and that he was the biggest cheater in the history of the NFL.
I'm glad you finished that sentence, by
seriously,
the way.
Seriously.
I'm afraid of his balls.
That's right. Yeah. Jastrzemski and Dorito Dink. Jazz and Dink will write the book and finally take Tom... Someone's going to take him down, right?
What's going to be in the book? I mean, what is there?
That's a good question. What's gonna be in the book? Rob Parker. I saw him in an elevator at Super Bowl 53, and I realized it was a really tall guy too. And I was just about to say something, he got out, and all I just yelled was "Load!" And he turned around, and then the elevator door closed. I'll see you next time, Parker.
I mean, is there nothing from Felger in this segment? I mean, I talk about
that's every day.
There's nothing. Nothing.
Well, they say the other people, they've been on Sony Michel. Phony Michel.
Yeah.
They said he was a passenger on the bus on the way to Super Bowl 53. Who's 20th all-time in postseason rushing touchdowns? Sony Michel. 6th last year.
What about Tom Jackson? Some audio, I think, from him also.
Tom Jackson on there, boys?
I think so.
You got a little TJ in the house?
Little TJ.
I want to say this very clearly. They hate their coach.
We don't have any fun.
Yes.
Like Lane Johnson, the offensive lineman for the Eagles, said nobody wants to play up there because it's a culture and a climate of fear, and they don't have any fun in Foxborough. Looked pretty fun last year.
That was following the 31-0 2003 season opening loss to the Bills after he released Lawyer Malloy and he went up to Buffalo. He said that, and Belichick held that against him for the rest of his career. He MF'd him at the middle of the field before a Super Bowl, and later that season, they beat the Bills. They ended that year after starting it losing 31-0 to the Bills. They won 31-0 in their final game of the season of the regular year.
And I believe we've actually dug up one more, Greg. We were talking about New York Giants and the Belichick game plan before, the son of a famous New York Giant has also tried to make a name riding the coattails of GOATness recently, criticizing him.
Number 9 on the Chris Sims Top 40 Quarterback Countdown. I saw this one last night, my jaw dropped. How can you do this to the GOAT? He's Tom Brady, for crying out loud. You have him at number 9? Chris, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, you love this, huh? You're just going to fan the flames all day on this one. It's at the age of 42. No, I don't think he's capable of doing some of the things that the 8 quarterbacks in front of him that we'll talk about next week can do.
Number 9.
Looked pretty capable. Continues to look pretty capable.
Look pretty, yes, pretty, yes. Pretty capable-ish. Yesterday, Doug Gottlieb jumped on Colin Cowherd's show and said that, let's be honest, Tom Brady, he had a bad AFC championship. You know, remember when he threw the 3 third and 10 completions in overtime on the way to the game-winning touchdown drive in Kansas City?
Mm-hmm.
Bad game.
I think it's better when they do that.
Yeah.
I think that's
makes it more fun.
I think, yeah, absolutely. All right, so those are that's your choice for the 10 dumbest or the those 8 are, dumbest or whatever
our
it is.
Five, our 5 top stupid things people have said on TV about Boston sports recently.
I want to just update you on the fundraising that we're doing this morning on the show through the Greg Hill Foundation, and I want to thank everybody who has donated so far this morning, and I probably... the AAF listeners that have come along with us know all about the foundation, but some of you may not know. So this morning we are raising money for the Lacoste family from Westford. Kevin Lacoste, a very, very popular principal in Westford.
Yes.
And was out playing with his kids and fell out of a tree and is in critical condition at Mass General. And so we are raising money this morning for his wife, for he and his family, his kids, his wife. We're matching your donations up to $5,000. That's how the foundation works. So, so far this morning, you have, let me get a total here. So far this morning, you have donated $5,505. We're matching that. You can continue to donate when you go to thegreghillfoundation.org. That's thegreghillfoundation.org. Make a donation, doesn't matter the size of the donation, and we will deliver a check to that family immediately so they can deal with what they are dealing for. And I want to thank our friends at the Paper Store, because you can stop into the Paper Store locations in Westford, Acton, and Littleton and donate there.
That's awesome.
For
thank you guys.
The Lacoste family of Westford.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Danielle, this texter wants more fake laughing from you.
I have a very specific contractually stipulated amount that I have to laugh per hour. Actually, Ken and Chris will signal me if I need to bump it up or rein it in a little bit.
How many fake laughs per hour is it?
10.
10. What do
so
we
I have to space them out evenly. I went a little heavy on the last segment. So because I tried to reel it in when Wick was here, and then, you know, I tried to give you a little. Yeah. You're so funny.
Well, somebody give a cheer.
There, exactly. Thank
it's
you.
A Jess Mendoza.
Call me Jess. Yeah.
We'll call it the Jess Mendoza line.
Who was in charge of the fake laughing on the previous show?
Guys? Ooh, that was a Mutt thing.
Was that Mutt did the fake laughing?
His biggest strength. Yep. Mm. That was about the only one.
Did you listen to Mutt and Reamer last night?
I did. I listened to Mutt last night. He was going off on your Charlie Baker interview where Baker said that he's not ready to, or that the state will not be ready for legalized sports betting until June of next year. And he was incredibly mad about that.
Yeah, because he's a degenerate.
Yes.
That's exactly why.
I'm a moron.
He's tired of driving from Chelmsford to Rhode Island to place his bets, so he wants it to come to the Bay State.
Can't expense that mileage here either, huh?
Nope.
I'm a degenerate gambler.
What is the delay? I mean, I don't know why. Like, why? Like,
that's why I wanted to ask him.
The state needs to find a way to make as much money as possible. Like everything else in the Commonwealth, it's a money grab.
Is that what it is?
Taxes. fees. Oh, you want to drive on this road? Well, we're going to implement this. We pay a gas tax, an excise tax. We've got tolls up the yin-yang.
I don't even know what an excise tax is. I pay it every year for two stupid cars, one of which I don't even drive because I can walk to work, for God's sakes.
Exactly.
Yeah. They need we got the sports book should be up and running. This is silly. You've got a football season. You're missing an entire window of football. You'll miss the majority of the basketball season. Nobody bets on baseball. Everyone bets on football and basketball. That's what people bet on, and we're going to miss another entire season.
It's no fun zone. State is no fun zone. Look how long it took us to get freaking casinos here.
In the first place. Yes.
In the first place.
Well, but
I would be shocked if they even get it done by June of next year. I'd be shocked.
He said he hoped for June of 2020.
Yeah, there's no way. Maybe 2021, probably 2022.
What's on the docket between now and next June that the legislation can't be placed?
Millionaire's tax.
Vacation.
They got to get the millionaire's tax done.
Too many Ubers on the road, and why is the garbage out at 6?
Right, and Sean McDonough is upset about the Ubers, so they have to focus on the Ubers. Well, I mean, I do think that the governor was intrigued when I think Danielle said yesterday that basically degenerates are going out of state spending their money gambling elsewhere. So
don't you want them to spend it here?
It's like fireworks sales.
Right.
Like,
people are going to do it. They're going to blow their hand off. Fine. Let them do it here. Pay the tax.
Is anyone concerned, though, that a sports book coming to town could possibly take the original mom and pop shop of New England that is, of course, local bookies out of business?
It might, yes. Well, we're going to put a lot of them out of business, which would be unfortunate.
When my mom kicked my dad out of the house in 86, my dad got an apartment in Quincy for a year. You know how he afforded that apartment in Quincy? Richie the Bookie came in 6 to 7:30 every night. Richie the Bookie took all the bets on the South Shore, and then he ran at 7:30 and that, and he paid for my dad's apartment.
See, there's two groups, though. It's the people that have bookies that would continue to use bookies or that are familiar with that, and the people that would never use a bookie because they don't know how to do it, and then, you know, having legalized sports betting works for them. It's like the pot thing. You had people that had a pot guy, and they would buy from their pot guy, and they likely still do because the taxation is ridiculous in this state on the marijuana. And now you have the people that never had a pot guy, but they like to do the marijuana so they can go to the dispensaries.
How many times did Reamer talk about wanting to be on the morning show last night when he was
on? I have a new update for you, Greg, about Reamer.
He wants
to sit down with you this week, not about the show. He wants to interview you about your thoughts on the beginning of your own program, not about his place on the show, but he wants to do a media story on the one and only Greg Hill.
For what site or what publication?
I don't know if you've heard of it. It's probably the top-rated website in America, weei.com.
I see. Mm-hmm. All right.
Is that like whitehouse.com? It's porn?
Yep.
So does he no longer want to sit down and have a meeting about being on the show?
Well, he's a pretty smart guy, Greg. I think this whole meeting may include a final discussion after the interview is concluded about his role on the show. He tells me that he will not bother you, but I was to relay this message to you that he wants to sit down interview with you this week about the new show.
I mean, would he bring anything to the show? I mean, if we had him on, I mean, I hear all the time that we ought to have Wiggy on the show. I mean, would he bring anything?
Reamer will have energy, so maybe that'll help.
Oh yeah, we can help with the energy.
Yep.
Yeah,
he could be our energy guy. Yeah,
get the energy up in the show.
Everything else, you know, we'll see.
My butt looks really good.
This is John. Hello, John.
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on, John?
Congratulations on your show, brother.
Thank you.
Fitzy's hilarious. I don't know Danielle yet because I didn't really listen to the other show.
You'll get to know her. You'll get to know her.
I know.
She's laughing.
Fake laugh. That's my job.
She's the laugh.
I know nothing.
Yeah.
Hey, there you go. Definitely an avid fan of the old show, but willing to give you a chance more than the other guy with the 10 days because I listen to while I drive the truck.
Thank you.
Give us, I mean, I you know, if you look at a restaurant, it takes a year for a restaurant to work the way it ought to work. Give us a couple.
I don't know. A restaurant gets one chance on the grand opening. If you're trash, I can't do it. You know,
well,
I'll give you a chance. You know,
you can Yelp about it. If you don't like the show, you can Yelp about it. All right, what are you calling about, though, John?
So, anyways, I think I solved your energy, and I really think this might help. Hillman and Wiggy, 100%. Wiggy brings energy, brings ratings, and keep Reema far away from your show. He's trash.
A lot of people say that. I think Wiggy is. Wiggy's another guy who really wants to be on the show.
Mm-hmm.
He would love to. Yeah, I think he's got a place somewhere once we figure things out.
Where is that place?
Somewhere in this building.
Somewhere in the building.
Yeah, is, yeah, he belongs in here. He's
somewhere,
a good guy.
Somewhere in the building is that.
Caught a lot of passes from Tom Brady.
Yeah. Well, maybe when we get to football season, yep. or maybe sooner than that.
Get out, see.
Prego.
I mean, think you. Curtis says he needs a little help with word economy. Yes. I mean, is that the that's
just
the main
just a lot of words. Just I don't
investigating a burglary.
Right.
He eventually gets to the point, though, right?
Yeah, he ends up there.
Eventually gets.
But his Eastie authenticity is on point. And Danielle, as a native of the area,
yes.
You can attest to that.
That's correct. Yeah, very much so. I didn't just grow up in Swampscott. I grew up in the mean streets of Orient Heights in East Boston, you know, next to Winthrop.
All right. Well, we're constantly evolving over here on this show, so maybe we can evolve into the Wiggy direction at some point. If you'd like to be on this morning, the number is 617-779-7937, or you can text on the text line, which is 37937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.